Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland, so welcome to my channel. And this is saying, well, happy Declaration of Independence Day to Lithuania, because on this day, the 11th of March, back in 1990, that the Lithuanian Parliament voted to declare the independence of Lithuania being restored. So that was it. So Lithuania, in case you don't know, is in northeastern Europe by the Baltic Sea. Its neighbors are Latvia, Russia, Belarus, and Poland. So the Lithuanians got a distinct language, the Slavonic language, methinks distantly related to Polish, but their names usually end in S, Christian names and surnames. I knew the son of a distinguished Lithuanian writer called Kunčinas, and all Lithuanians seem to know him. It's a country of only 3 million people. And to think that it started off with sort of the same standard of living as Russia, and in 35 years, despite having like no oil, no gas, almost no metals, precious and non, almost no mineral resources, some decent farmland, but not particularly advantageous geographical position, a language that nobody else speaks, they managed to become wealthy, like up to the European average. And that is just through good governance, through rule of law, independent courts. You know that it'll be dealt with expeditiously if you have some legal dispute. And that there's fair, that the police are incorruptible, free and fair elections, free speech of their problems. Let's talk about it. Let's criticize the government. Let's find a way to improve things. Real elections that oppositions can win. And like no police brutality. And that has been magnificent. So most Lithuanians are ethnically Lithuanian. There's some who are ethnically Russian. They're offered Lithuanian citizenship and so on. So Lithuania has been a distinct country for, you know, many centuries. Okay, it was united with Poland for some time, the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. That fell apart. Conquered by Russia, and at the after the October Revolution 1917 declared its independence, that was recognized by Russia, which then turned itself to the Soviet Union. And then the Lithuanians were threatened in 1940 to allow the Red Army in. There's no way they could stand up to the Red Army, and nobody was willing to come to their aid. And so they came in, and then obviously the communists crushed dissent. So politicians, left wing, right wing, centrist, anyone who believed in freedom was taken off, put into the cattle truck, sent to Siberia, some of them executed. Just worked to death in the most inhumane conditions, the Gulag. Let's call them concentration camps. And it's okay, unlike Nazi concentration camps, some people survived 10 years and were released. But many, many died through brutality, through inadequate clothing in extremely cold temperatures, through starvation rations, through exhaustion, through the lack of any medical care, through no sanitation. It was horrendous, just the most unimaginable suffering from a truly sadistic regime. So the idea was to lobotomize Lithuanians, to cretinize them, to deracinate them, and the learning of Russian became compulsory. They were still allowed some Lithuanian as well. Obviously, there were some Lithuanian freedom fighters who fought on the forest. Unfortunately, some of them made a common cause with Germany, saying, we're in an absolutely desperate situation, we'll take help from any quarter. Now, perhaps we shouldn't judge them too harshly. Remember, as Churchill said in the Second World War, if Hitler invaded hell, I would find some kind words to say for the devil in the House of Commons. So when they're fighting for survival, they can't be too choosy about whose help they accept. And obviously Germany was defeated, and some of the Lithuanians still held out in the forest, fighting on into the 1950s, but it was a forlorn hope. And then there was the Communist Party, the only political party allowed, which a Lithuanian nationalist was very much oppressed. Anyone who advocated for that was going straight to the Gulag. But bizarrely, in 1988, the ban on other political parties was lifted, and when people were free to choose, they chose freedom. Now, if Lithuania wanted to stay united with Russia and the rest of the Soviet republics, I wouldn't have objected, but they didn't. And they had a free election on the 10th of March. Mikhail Gorbachev, he was first secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, effectively their leader, and he suggested they don't do it, but they went ahead and did it anyway. And separatism was popular in lots of Union republics, particularly the Baltics. And they'd held a protest in August 1989 to remember how the Soviet Union started the Second World War along with Germany. And so millions of people held hands from Estonia through Latvia into Lithuania that moment, 23rd of August, to remember the signing of the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact when the Soviet Union said to Germany, yes, go ahead, by all means, invade Poland from the west, we'll invade from the east, and you give us permission to annex Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, some of Finland, Romania, and so forth, which they did. Now, Germany's never stopped apologizing, has reacted the right way to Nazism, becoming the most humane country in the world and democratic. But the Soviet Union and its principal successor state, Russia, has never faced up to the fact that it caused the Second World War, was an aggressor until June 1941. Without Stalin's go ahead, Hitler wouldn't have dared do all that. The Soviet Union did not react well to this, and obviously there's some hardliners saying send these people to the Gulag. The Gulag's only just been closed, so all these people have been steeped in believing in keeping the Soviet Union together. Actually disbelieved it. I mean, as soon as they could, it was astonishing. This is the volte-face that they performed. So there was blockade from the next month, April 1990. The rest of the Soviet Union was supposed to not provide oil and gas, not sell raw materials or purchase any Lithuanian manufacturers of goods to wreck their economy. So it was very, very difficult, but the Lithuanians did not annul their Declaration of Independence. So there were Soviet troops there. Lithuania didn't have its own army. This was an attempt to frighten people. The Soviet forces left the barracks, see some key buildings and so on. I mean, it all culminated in that January 1991 event in Lithuania, Soviet troops attempting to break into a TV tower to stop people broadcasting freely, 14 unarmed people murdered by the Soviet Union and so on. And it's actually after the all-failed August coup in 1991, that's when Lithuania's independence was recognized and they set up their currency. Obviously, a lot of teething problems. And then Russian politicians have recently said Lithuanian independence might not be legal and has to be reviewed, as in trying to give themselves a reason to invade and annex it, which is why the Lithuanians have such fellow feeling for the Ukrainians, because the same thing could happen to them. But they've had to really beef up their armed forces. They're very glad to be in NATO and indeed in the European Union. Now, critical though I am of the European Union, it's far better than the Soviet Union or the Russian Federation. Were it a binary choice, I would definitely opt to be in the European Union. You know, I want to take the Republic of Ireland out of the European Union. I accept that's just not a realistic goal in the foreseeable future, with at least 80% support for EU membership and only 10% opposition. I mean, it's not terrible. It's not evil. It's not oppressive. Anyway, so congratulations to all Lithuanians. And don't believe this nonsense about Russian speakers being mistreated and they are allowed to be in the armed forces at any level and so on. And unfortunately, Russia's trying to use the presence of that Russian ethnic minority in Lithuania as a reason to invade, claim that they're persecuted, they're not allowed to speak their language, which is nonsense. And Lithuanians, they're educated in Lithuanian. The main foreign language they learn is English, and some of them learn Russian too. But Russian is just less important, relatively and absolutely, than it was in the 1980s. And other former Russian republics, colonies, they're dropping the Russian language. And, you know, you go back to sort of 1990, and it was about 4% of the population of the world could speak Russian. It's now only about 2%, and it's shrinking as the population of Russia shrinks, and the other former Soviet unions are turning away from Russian more and more, and the world population grows. Well, thanks for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Okay, toodle pip, everybody. And I urgently need donations to keep this channel going. Goodbye then.